Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today is Thursday, the day we try to apply and live out what we've been learning this week. And this week we've looked at how God is one, and how when he gave commandments, 10 commandments to his people that included a law about worshiping only God and a law about not worshiping idols, God's people Israel broke that law even as he was giving it to them. It didn't take them long to already fall short of God's plan for them. So that's what happened. God's anger burned. The language we see in the Bible is that his wrath came upon him, and there was a burning anger. We saw yesterday the role that Moses' brother, Aaron, who was supposed to be a leader in the community, played in this whole debacle. It wasn't good. He was either complicit and a part of the plan and encouraging it and whipping it up, or he had some pretty insincere failed attempts to try to trick people into stopping. He never clearly came out against what was happening. He never stood up to the people and said, no, we cannot worship a golden calf. We need to worship only the one true God, even though he is invisible. We can't just go and make visible things to worship. He never actually stood up and said that. He just sort of either played along or tried to sort of do just enough that he could claim he didn't encourage it. But in the end, he was a big part of the whole nation falling into sin at once. Wasn't a good scene. And you would think he would take the brunt of God's anger and wrath. Those words used in the Bible there of wrath and anger and burning anger, they're big words, they're extreme. So you would think that Aaron would take the brunt of that. And yet, he survives. That's because, yes, God can be angry. God can have something called wrath. Those are characteristics of God. They are there. Now, we don't always like them. Lots of people would rather not hear about God's anger and wrath. We just kind of want a loving God who's accepting of everything and very, very tolerant. But actually, the Bible describes both sides of God. He at once gets angry. And his rage burns against sin and rebellion by humans. This is not meant to be part of his world, and it does not please him, and he's very displeased when it happens. But there is also this loving, forgiving, accepting side of God. They are all part of one and the same God, and we see it in this story. We see it in how, first of all, Aaron and the people enrage God. He is angry. He wants to retaliate. There's something in him that wants to let his anger run its course. But God lets Israel and Aaron survive. They survive in part because Moses intercedes for them. And intercede means you step into the gap. You stand in the middle. And so Moses goes on behalf of the people of Israel to God and says, please let your anger subside. Forgive these people. And God does it. It's an amazing thing. And that's the forgiving side of God that we see in action. We see that he's a God of mercy. He doesn't give people what they deserve. But then he goes beyond that. And he shows he's actually not just a God of mercy, he's a God of grace. And the God of grace gives people what they don't even deserve. He gives them better. So God continues his relationship with Israel. He continues bringing them towards their promised land. He is a God at once of anger and wrath at sin, but also a God who deals with it through forgiveness and grace. Now, a big part of why that happened, I said, was that Moses interceded. And that was a sign of what Jesus would do for all people someday, that Jesus would stand in the gap for us. And although God would be enraged with our sin, our rebellion against him, Jesus would stand in the gap and plead for us and say, spare these people. Please spare these people. And that's exactly what God did when Jesus died on the cross and then rose again for our sins, destroying sin's power over us, destroying death's power over us. I think the Israelites would have learned something from this. For one, they would have seen something about God's nature, that he was forgiving, that he was gracious. They would also have seen a stark contrast between him and a golden calf. All the golden calf would do was take. People had to melt down their gold. They had to melt down all this gold that they had collected from the Egyptians, and they had to turn it into this calf, and then they had to give their time to it, they had to bow down and worship the thing, and it never did anything for them, because it was all make-believe. but the God of Israel, Yahweh. In that case, people, when they gave to him, when they sacrificed their time, when they gave their worship, they gave generously of their material possessions, that God was truly doing something for them, leading them towards their promised land, leading them out of slavery in Egypt, sustaining them with food and water when there was none else around. There's only one God who can do that. And this story still matters today, because God is still a God who forgives, and we're still a people who need forgiveness. We all fall short of God's laws. We all break them in one way or another. Go through the Ten Commandments from last week. You'll find something you've broken. But thankfully, God is still a God who forgives, whose Son intercedes for us and pleads for God to forgive us. That's great news for us. And that's something that no golden calf could ever do. There's only one God who can forgive like that, instead of just taking and taking and taking and giving nothing in return. So I want you to take some time to just kind of prayerfully reflect on something, and then to take on this week's challenge. First, prayerfully reflect on these questions. What am I desiring that I shouldn't? What am I giving my time to that I shouldn't? What's taking God's place in my life? And confess that sin to God. Then do whatever it takes to change that wrong thinking and bad habits that put other things higher in your life than God. And for your challenge, try to spend your commute exclusively on God. Today, this week, this month, whatever length of time you can, try to spend your commute exclusively in prayer or listening to worship music or an audiobook or reviewing some of our courses or older challenges. Have a great time putting that challenge into practice, and I'll see you tomorrow for our day of prayer and reflection. Bye for now.